You're listening to Suddenly I See, a gender toolkit for the Smithers, BC area on CICK 93.9 FM. I'm Laszlo Polgar.
And I'm Christine Bruce.
In this episode, which we're calling The Gender Experts,
we're going to talk about what gender expression looks like in real life.
Yeah. If you're following along in Dr. Lee Erickson's book, Gender, Your Guide, we're now officially moving on to the second chapter, still cataloged under part one, What to Know. In Chapter 2 of Gender Your Guide, this is where we begin to build our gender-friendly toolkit based on our own gender expertise. We all need to make our own context more gender-friendly, and this is a starting place for that. So get your pen and paper, we've got some work to do.
Boy, have we ever. Everyone is a gender expert, whether you want to believe that or not. Living in a highly gendered culture, genderqueer people need and have a depth of complexity of gender expertise. They're intimately aware of nonverbal cues and can anticipate problem situations. Lee calls genderqueer people gender researchers because they need to have this information just to get through a day. Boy, that must be exhausting. The thing is, we all of us have this expertise. I love this chapter because it makes me feel like I belong. And we all want to feel that way, that we belong. At the moment, though, neither genderqueer nor cisgender people are very good at working together on this. Some cis folks are afraid to get involved, like gender issues are mysterious or you might cause offense. Sometimes they might consider their cis experience and knowledge irrelevant to what genderqueer people experience. And that's where I was until I read Lee's book. But how can we build community if we don't work together?
Part of your gender expertise involves recognizing and understanding how gender works around you, particularly how rigid and separate the big two gender categories are, or how bad things get when someone steps outside of them. This is your starting place for your own gender-friendly roadmap. We'll do some intentional reflection to find that starting place. In later episodes, we'll build on strategies for following your roadmap, ways to see what helps and what doesn't help your gender-friendly efforts, with suggestions for working through the things that don't help. We're going to consider three questions. How gender-friendly is your space? How open it is to many different ways that people live gender? And could this space welcome a gender non-conforming or out genderqueer person? And could that person stick around and be okay?
Yeah, good questions to ask.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Laszlo. So the next topic in the book is called Where Are You Now? And I got a lot out of doing this example, but it was a hard one. I had to really work at it. So the explanation for this is you want to find one context in your life where you regularly spend time. It could be your immediate family or some extended family, a friend group or a class group, a sports group or an arts class, your workplace or a community organization. And you want to consider how you'd box these people into a gender based on your expectations. What is it that you expect of a person so that they'll fit into either the male or the female box? And I often find that when somebody doesn't fit neatly into those boxes, that's when I have to back away from it for a minute because it's not what I'm expecting. And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Right? Because I've been forcing myself into these boxes all my life. And why should I force other people into the boxes? That's not reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
So first you fit people into the male box and then you've got to fit them into the female box and see how rigid these things are. Okay, so take it away.
I definitely, like, because I am on the, like, spectrum of, like, being non-binary or agender, however you want to say it. And so I will have kind of my own fluid feeling of how I want to present myself. And so I end up playing with those, like, boxes and expectations for people's, like, gender and what other people expect me to present as quite often to kind of, like, not necessarily present as one or the other all the time, but sometimes maybe I do feel like being like very woman or very man. And so, yeah, I kind of have my own version of what I would consider myself as a man would be and what I would consider myself as a woman would be. And so when I'm feeling very feminine, I'm a lot of times wearing more like feminine clothing and sometimes wearing makeup and doing my hair really nice and getting all dressed up and whatnot. And then when I'm feeling very masculine in a day, I dress down and I look a lot more like I just rolled out of bed.
What does that say about your idea of a male character?
and I think it's really funny because, like, I often do see that, like, a lot of the men around me and in my life, they don't really have much of a consideration on what they're wearing in a day.
Yep.
Or putting together an outfit versus just wearing whatever's in their closet. And so whenever I'm feeling more masculine, I just kind of wear whatever's the first thing in my closet and what feels comfortable for me to wear that day versus, like, more feminine stuff that a lot of people consider, and I guess I would consider more feminine, would be just, like, very much taking, like, that time and precaution about what you're wearing.
Now, do you ever take into account colors?
Not particularly. I guess, like, sometimes I do, but I honestly wear, like, a lot of black clothing.
Right.
So right. I kind of just work more with, yeah, like, texture and the kind of, like, outfits that I'm putting together and how cohesive an outfit is. And if it looks more, like, put together and nice looking, that's usually more, like, I guess that's, like, when I'm feeling a lot more feminine and taking that time to, like, care for an outfit more. Not that men can't do that, but I guess, like, a lot of people consider that a very feminine aspect. So that's that, like, female box is caring about your appearance to the point where you're putting that energy into every single outfit that you wear.
Now, do you ever bring politics into it? Like, is your masculine side more punk, for instance, you know?
I guess, like, not entirely. Sometimes, I guess, like, and I suppose that's more in terms of, like, what kind of clothing I have and what kind of, like, energy I have in the day. And usually when I'm feeling a lot more masculine, I do end up feeling a lot more aggressive and in your face about things. And so I guess, yeah, I would end up being more, like, punky in a way when I'm feeling more masculine and, like, energized and whatnot for that pass that I'm going about my gender. But yeah, like, it's still pretty fluid even when I'm kind of playing with those boxes. And sometimes I don't even really feel like playing into, like, oh, I've got a beard and I'm dressing very, like, jeans and a t-shirt with a sweater maybe, and I'm binding and I'm making sure that I look super, super masculine, and I don't feel like going into that, like, oh, well, I'll wear a dress today and I won't bind and I'll shave my face and updo my hair and make myself look really nice. And I just don't really feel like any of that. And so I just kind of mix the two, and it's more that weird fluidity end up mix, and that ends up a lot more people recognize me for being trans when I'm feeling that kind of mix, because that's that kind of, like, not really fitting into either or of those right. boxes. And it taking that weird, like, oh, this person is dressing a little bit differently and dressing a little bit more, like, queer, quote unquote, and so, yeah, I kind of get, like, clocked more. Mm-hmm. Which I don't think we ever went over the terminology of clocking, but it's when you look at a person and you are like, oh, that is a trans person. That's kind of like clocking them as okay. a trans person, I all guess. Right. That's something that in the community we end up using a lot. So yeah, and there's, like, a lot of that gender neutral expression that kind of gets picked up by the community and ends up being that, like, factor of, oh, this is another person that's part of my community and I can trust them more. And I'd consider, like, a lot of that would be, like, the men dyeing their hair and women dyeing their hair and whatnot, and men doing nails and makeup and prettying themselves off. Like, a lot of the time when I see a man that's all prettied up, I'm, like, more leaning towards, oh, they could be queer. Like, I'm never gonna really assume, but I definitely feel a lot safer and a lot more myself around people that kind of take on that, like, queer aspect of dressing themselves and whatnot, because there's definitely that kind of, like, undertone in how people express themselves.
Right. So gender expression can mean a sense of allyship.
Yeah.
And you see it that way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it's especially like with allyship, because even when I'm seeing these factors, I'm never really assuming that they're a queer person themselves, but I'm definitely seeing that they are a lot more open-minded when I see these kinds of expressions and don't see them really fitting into that kind of stereotypical box of man and woman. And yeah, that kind of ends up making me feel a lot more comfortable around those people and a lot more comfortable around like expressing myself when I see those like gender neutral aspects of things.
I like this because you've just given me an idea for my own toolkit that if I do some gender expression one day, that's not necessarily something that I mean to express for myself. Mm-hmm. Like I express something more masculine. That might make your world, your environment feel safer.
Oh, definitely.
And I mean, that's wonderful. It doesn't have to be about me. It can be about the environment and, mm-hmm. and making other people feel,
yeah,
you know, definitely. Recognized and accepted.
Yeah, no, for sure.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, can I ask you another question? Do you ever get people come over to you and say, oh, you're just making a statement?
I don't think I've really had anybody say that I'm making a statement. As much as I've had people kind of accuse me of, like, going back on my word about being trans before.
What?
Like I'm feeling very masculine for a while and dress very masculine and whatnot. And then suddenly that kind of changes and I'm like, oh, I want to feel more feminine today. And then they're like, oh, so you're a girl now? And I'm like, oh, well, that's just not how it really works.
No, trans can be very fluid, can't it?
Yeah, no. And so it's like, it doesn't make much sense to me because you wouldn't say, oh, are you a girl now when a cis guy wears a dress or something? Or when a cis woman, like, starts wearing suits and pants and whatnot. Like,
right.
It's like, you wouldn't really assume that of a cisgender person, so why are you assuming that of me?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, boxes that people just kind of put you in because of how you express yourself. And that's... Everybody has their own little personal, like, boxes over, like, what gender is and how a man and a woman should express it.
Yeah, so maybe the point here is to try not to be too rigid in our expectations of ourselves and each other.
Oh, for sure. And if someone doesn't really fit that box, it's like, so whatever. It's fine.
That's right. It is what it is.
If it's not expected, it's just, that's just an unexpected time and day and place.
Yeah.
And it happens.
Yeah.
There's, like, tons of things that you go about your day and you're not really expecting, and it doesn't even, you don't even bat an eye at it, but then suddenly it's another person, and you're like, oh, well, why is that any different?
Yeah. So true. Okay, so here's an example. This is one of the places that my brain went when I was doing this exercise, was the farmer's market. Mm-hmm. Our farmer's market is pretty accepting and open-minded. I mean, obviously, we want everybody to come and spend their money, right? And the money is the key part here. So it doesn't matter what you look like or what your gender expression is. But there can be people, the occasional farmer might, or there can be people coming into the market who are not necessarily accepting of different gender expressions. And I had a booth at our market this year, and there were a few times where somebody would walk in with a gender expression that I didn't expect. There's nothing wrong or right about it. It's just not what I expected. So there was a fellow who walked in with a flowing dress, long flowing dress on. Totally masculine, except for the dress. And mm-hmm. I thought, oh, I did a double take. Wait a minute. And I kept saying to myself, okay, don't stare. Why are you still staring? Stop staring. But I think it's because I'm trying to normalize it in my mind. Okay, men can wear dresses. Mm-hmm. And here I'm seeing it and just keep looking at it. And pretty soon you'll feel like, okay, it's fine. It's just one of those things, right?
Yeah, definitely.
But I really needed to stop staring. And finally, of course, I made the person uncomfortable and I had to give them the thumbs up. I like what you're doing. Because I'm obviously making the situation awkward and that
yeah.
isn't a comfortable space for them.
Yeah, no, that staring. It takes a lot of effort not to do that, like, double take and that stare. And there's always that kind of thumbs up that you can do to kind of make up for it. But yeah, it is kind of like being perceived as abnormal to people does end up kind of making you feel a little bit out in the open and exposed. So it definitely does kind of hinder that, like, safe space, I guess. But at the end of the day, usually I can get past stuff like that, and I'm like, oh, well, if they weren't really judging me, I guess they were just like, oh, they looked cool or something.
Yeah.
I can't really speak for everybody, though.
No, no, but I want them to feel like next week they can come back and wear the same outfit or another outfit, or I'm just glad to have them here at my market.
No, definitely. And I think, like, in times like that, when you do catch yourself staring, I think, like, a compliment is really the best way to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I like your dress is usually my go-to.
There was another person who came in. Now, there was a lot of feminine gender expression going on, but they were, my dad was a very hairy man. He had very long arm hair and leg hair, and his chest hair was always shooting out over his shirt, and this person had more hair than my dad. And I remember thinking, whoa, this is an extreme case of I don't know what gender expression we're looking at here. And again, like, I literally had to force my body to turn away because I couldn't stop staring. But I remember thinking, I hope they come back because this is so much color at my market that I love. And I just desperately want to go over and hug them and say, thank you for coming today. But that just didn't seem appropriate either.
No, not at all. No, I definitely get that. Like, when I've been on hormone therapy for quite a while, and I've ended up growing, like, quite a bit of body hair. And so whenever I'm kind of presenting more feminine, and you can kind of, like, see a bit of, like, cleavage, or you can see my kind of, like, my stomach, there is body hair there. And I find it really entertaining seeing the kind of reactions I get to that. Because some people, because they never really want to, like, you never really want to, like, point it out to somebody and be like, oh, well, you have body hair.
Yeah.
But I definitely notice the looks and whatnot. And I'm never really, like, uncomfortable with it. As much as I'm just like, I see
you doing it.
This is like abnormal to you. This is like, I'm testing the waters of, like, what's normal to you. And I'm like, I definitely get the being on the other side of the kind of the ogling. Never really bothers me all that much, but sometimes it definitely, like, if I'm feeling more insecure about myself, if it's a bad day, it can be kind of an intense of a situation for me.
Right.
So that, it's always pretty good to give, like, compliments to people's appearance if you catch yourself really staring for that long.
The message for me, when I go to the farmer's market and I see something that's not within those limited parameters that I've been trained to expect, I want to find ways that, first of all, normalize that at my market. I want all of that to feel absolutely acceptable and nobody's going to stare. Mm-hmm. And I want to find ways that I can be one of those people that helps to normalize it. So thumbs up and going over and giving compliments and saying, hey, I'm really glad you came to the market today. And I just want to find more ways. Do you have any suggestions?
I'd say, like, really, it's just talking to people is that main big one. There's not a ton of things that you can do that's, like, signage and whatnot that really makes up for the lack of direct communication and direct attention that it needs for people to feel 100% comfortable around, I suppose. You can put, like, signs up and stickers up and, like, make sure that your, like, tent and area for the farmer's market looks like a space that's welcome for everybody. Even just, like, having, like, one of those, like, little pride flags just hunkered around somewhere, even that can, like, really help. You can do so much to make it, like, look like you're super accepting, but then that going that extra mile and just kind of talking to people really makes up for anything that you can't do with the visuals or your space or what, like, people are seeing.
Okay. One of the tricks I tried this summer, and I think it was effective, was lots of plays on words. So whatever my theme was that week, I remember once it was tomatoes, and I had little felted tomatoes all over my clothing, and I had a little sign on my hat that said, I'm a tomatoed. And lots of people came over and commented on this. And there was a lot of laughing and, you know, people giving me thumbs up. Mm-hmm. And I thought, this is a good thing because we're not talking gender here. Who gives a shit? We're just talking about tomatoes, right? And it takes your mind off what's going on in the other universe there. And I just want people to feel welcome and accepted.
Definitely. Yeah.
Big part of the litter.
It's, like, so important that people feel accepted. Because, like, we're so far away from so many, like, different groups of people that it's really important that we have that kind of accepting community, especially for people like me. Because there's not, like, a ton other places we can really go.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I'm like, we're putting in that work, and it's really appreciated from, like, somebody from the other side, I suppose.
Well, I'm pretty happy to have the, as you call it, the other side in my world. It's much more colorful and interesting. And it makes me want to go home and find some cool stuff and, you know, some gear in my closet and be more experimental in what I wear.
Yeah. Clothing and expression and whatnot is really, like, such a huge part of the community. And not a lot of people kind of really realize that.
Yeah. Well, and they don't want to step outside their comfort zone, right? Yeah. It's like, I know lots of people who only ever wear blue and brown.
Yep.
Orange? Are you kidding? They never wear orange.
Expression is, like, so intertwined with the community and so intertwined with so many different communities. And it's definitely important to know how you are seeing and perceiving the people around you based off of the expectations and boxes that you're putting them in. Mm. Because, like, that's such a huge part of your perception of people, is right. their gender.
Remember that woman, that older woman that came into your workspace, and I happened to be there visiting with you, and she had dyed her hair, and I said, yeah,
it was bright purple,
I think. And I said, wow, that makes me so cheerful. I just want to follow you around today.
Yeah, it was like a blue or a purple, and it was very pretty.
It was. I have to do something like that now.
I liked it too, and I was like, oh, I should re-dye my hair soon.
Oh, what an interesting world we're making this, eh?
Yeah. We've gone over how gender is, like, perceived and whatnot, and that we do have these boxes. And we have in the book a table that can help you kind of visualize what you're trying to notice when we say, notice how you're boxing people in. I don't really like working with tables that much when it's, like, audio stuff, but at the very least I can go over, like, the list that the table kind of provides us.
And we'll put the table up on Facebook.
Yeah, no.
So if you want to see it.
We can have some visuals if you're getting confused about it. But yeah, so it's stuff like what gender expressions and changes would make this person kind of, like, stand out, like the clothing, their hair, their makeup, how they walk, how they present their voice and their mannerisms. What kind of, like, hobbies and interests and whatnot make this person stand out for a certain gender? I know a lot of people would consider things like knitting and crocheting and sewing to be very, like, grandma, quote-unquote, activities. And I'm always like, well, why is that such a feminine activity for so many people? And
that's Tom Daley at the Olympics.
Yeah.
He really changed your perception of knitting for men.
And so I'm like, there's these very feminine hobbies, and then there's these very, like, masculine hobbies, and a lot of that, like, for people my age is things like video games or sports, things like that. But then really think about it, this is not necessarily a masculine or feminine activity.
Yeah.
It's so weird that that's a box, but it's a box.
It's a box.
So think about that. Think about...
What would question calling look like and sound like?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you've touched on that a couple of times already today.
Mm-hmm.
That there's a lot of visual and verbal participation got to get away from.
Definitely, for sure. Even, like, how we kind of participate in each other with each other as a community can be put into that kind of box. Like, how it's often kind of perceived that, like, teenage girls are, like, gossiping all the time. Mm. And how guys are very, like, aggressive and whatnot. And even I kind of said in my, like, little box of how I express myself more masculine, it's very, like, confident and more aggressive about the things I believe in and whatnot. And so even there, I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of differences in how people kind of perceive how we're even communicating with each other mm-hmm. and how masculine or feminine that is.
Mm-hmm.
There's also, like how people might question call differently, like if people in authority or if you're, like, close to the person, and how you kind of expect, like, a masculine or a feminine person to react or act in like certain scenarios. Mm-hmm. And because there, even then there's these kinds of expectations that you have for women and men.
Well, and even in work situations, you know, we expect different levels of clothing. You've got to mm-hmm. be more dressed up if you're at work.
Yeah, no.
And somebody shows up in like, jeans, and that's not what we wanted, right?
Yeah, and then even just like in schools and whatnot, there's these like dress codes and things yep. that they're like so extensive for women, but then not really that yeah. intense for men. And you're like, well, why is it yeah, that a woman's that? Body is so much more needs to be covered in this way? Like, I don't understand how that's really making sense at all. There's kind of like what relationships would change for this person when it comes to like their gender and whatnot.
Do you find that your relationships change depending on how you express?
I feel like it kind of depends. I'd say like my more familiar relationships don't really change, but that's also because like I've been out for so long that like people kind of expect me to be a little bit different every single day. But my, like, stranger relationships, like, my, like, relationships with acquaintances and people that I'm only really talking to once or twice a day, or
somebody coming in for something at work.
like a customer or something, those definitely change very, very intensely based off of how I'm presenting myself. And sometimes I have to be kind of careful about how I present myself because I have to be aware that a way that I might dress could get myself in a more dangerous situation.
Yeah.
And so wow. I'm very aware of it, but I'm usually pretty bit of a risk taker when it comes to presenting myself. So I don't usually let it stop me too much.
I'm glad you don't.
Yeah. There's also when you're thinking about people around you and the relationships that you have, is there people that you think you could get away with standing out? And why might you think that? Because I feel like that getting away with standing out doesn't really like exist in the end of the day. You'll kind of stand out and get away with it for a little while, but it eventually you'll get kind of put in the spotlight for it. So I feel like there's not much standing out that people can get away with.
So I guess you have to be aware of that at the beginning of every day, right? That it's ultimately going to happen.
Yeah.
That you're going to get called out.
Eventually it'll end up happening, yeah.
Okay.
And even that even happens with cis people, right?
Yep.
Like, and it can happen with cis people in terms of gender or any other kind of thing. Like, eventually standing out is going to get you called out for something, whether it be good or bad. I don't know, people kind of are, like, a little bit hesitant when there's something that stands out to them. I'm not really sure why that is, but it's something interesting that people do, and I am okay with living with that.
So then I guess you want to always be aware of the people around you mm-hmm. that you can go to mm-hmm. where they will be an ally of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, if I knew that I was going to get called out at some stage, I'd want to parachute somehow.
No, you definitely, like, whenever I'm kind of, like, feeling a little bit more insecure about maybe being called out or having a kind of conversation, I usually have somebody I can kind of lean on around me. And often that's just people who know how it is, and it doesn't always even have to be somebody that I know. I'm pretty confident knowing that there's quite a few people in town that would call out poor behavior if it was happening, like, in front of them.
Yay, Smithers.
So I definitely, while I know that there's chances where I could be attacked for, like, how I'm expressing, I know that there's also an equal chance that I can be defended by a complete stranger. And I think that's, it kind of gives me a bit of hope for, like, the trans people in town and then myself as well. And just, like, queer people in general.
Yeah. Good to hear, because, you know, I think this must be a human failing. We always see the bad, right? And we always assume there are a lot of bad people and there's a lot of bad behavior. And you always see that. And you're not always aware of the decency around you. And I see that in every aspect of my life. I see that with cats and dogs, for instance. Oh, there's so many bad people out there doing bad things with cats. But you don't your brain is not filled with all the good things that people do. And actually, if you look at the statistics, there's an overwhelming number of decent people out there doing wonderful things. And there's just a very small fraction of bad things happening. It's just that is really reflected in your brain.
Yeah, no, I think, like, my mother always has, like, a pretty good way of like, explaining it. And she's always, like, telling me whenever I'm kind of anxious about something that it is a very vocal minority when it comes to people that don't, other people. Like, a majority of people are very accepting, or they just don't care.
Right.
And then there's just that very vocal minority of people who do care and they don't like it.
Right.
But then it's just very important to notice that it is a minority. It's not as many people as your anxiety might make you think it is, right?
Right. So again, there's something for the toolkit. Mm-hmm. Years ago, I'm going to tell you a quick example. Years ago, I went into a hardware store and a young girl was there on staff. And I thought, oh, she's not going to know what I, this is complicated. Okay, well, I better ask the question, see what happens. She knew exactly what I wanted. Mm-hmm. She had all sorts of patience for my questions. She was really the model employee. So I said to her, could I speak to your manager, please? Well, her whole body language changed. She was sure she was going to get a complaint. And I could see her walk over to the manager, and she's speaking to the manager, and the manager's body language changes. So they both come over looking like they're about to get a beating. And I said, I want to recommend this employee for a big fat raise because they were fabulous. And they gave them all sorts of examples of how well they had handled the situation, and their body languages changed again and went like, I just filled them up with a whole bunch of air, because they never hear the good. They only ever hear the bad. So here's a toolkit suggestion. You get into a situation and it doesn't have to be anything going on. There doesn't have to be any calling out. Just go over and say to the person, love what you're doing today.
Yeah. So many people get like so anxious about talking to people, and I totally get it. Like, I have social anxiety, and so I definitely get that pull of anxious energy, but at the end of the day, like, people feel good getting compliments.
We need to see and hear more of that.
Yeah. People feel very good about getting compliments, even if they're a little bit awkward about it, or if they aren't ready for it, and they feel a little bit, oh, and they don't really take it in the moment, they'll feel better about it in the privacy of their own home.
Yeah.
Whenever they're, like, alone and can kind of stew on that compliment, like, it does make people feel good.
I'm so glad we had this conversation. It makes me want to go downtown and do that.
Yeah, just give out compliments. Yeah. I usually try to give out a lot of compliments whenever I see something that's, like, really nice to look at or whatever.
I'm oh,
like,
me oh, too.
Yeah. Like, I love your hair or something like that. But yeah.
I'm Allie Howard from Nature's Pantry. We're proud to support Suddenly I See on CICK Community Radio.
Hi, this is Dave Harris of Bulky Valley Brewery and Smithers Grind. We have support with the show Suddenly I See to open up conversations about a community that needs to have more conversation about it.
My name is Wendy Wright. I'm the director of the Smithers Public Library, and I want everyone in this community and beyond to know that libraries are for everyone.
I mean, if there's a listener-supported radio station, that means that people can get
daily, every day, a different way of looking at the world, not just what the corporate media want you to see, but a different picture. Different understanding, but a different picture. A different understanding. Not only can you hear it, but you can participate in it. You can add your own thoughts, you know, and you can learn something, and so on. Well, that's the way. People become human. You know, that's the way you become human participants in a social and political system.
You are listening to Suddenly I See, a gender toolkit for the Smithers, BC area, CICK 93.9 FM. I'm Christine Bruce.
And I'm Laszlo Polgar.
One of our goals with this project is to strengthen our Smithers community in the area of gender, because there have been divisions in our town, which don't help anyone. You'll notice we've been sharing supportive messages from local business people, interest groups, and organizations. If you're genderqueer, or you're having genderqueer friends who could use some encouragement, these are for you. In this episode, we've been exploring what it means to be a gender expert, drawing our own unique gender roadmaps that will help us build stronger community together. Okay, now we want to talk about the topic, who can help, in the book. We didn't really focus on this while we were building the roadmap with the exercise, but we think it's really important, Laszlo and I. We want to focus on the last two questions in the table, whether anyone in your group could get away with standing out, and whether there's anyone who could make question calling stop. It might be the same person, right? They might be someone in authority, someone popular, or someone older, and they rarely get called into question themselves. I happen to be in that position because I'm an elder, and people don't question me. They just
smile and
just, oh, a tomato. Okay. My friend said to me, "You are such a dork." I consider that quite a compliment. These people tend to symbolize what is expected of people in their gender category in that time and place. And Lee uses the example of the original Pink Shirt Day in Nova Scotia, where two teenage boys wore pink shirts to school after a new boy experienced gender harassment because he was wearing a pink shirt. I realize it's the opposite gender category, but let's say I decided to wear a pink shirt in my elementary school classroom to show support for someone being harassed. How long before the girls would make fun of me, do you think? Now, what if the leaders of that girls' group wore the pink shirts? Would anyone make fun of them? When you answer these questions, bring in your own gender expertise. You know already what would happen. Lee makes one more really valid point. Maybe the person who could get away with crossing gender lines is you. Maybe you've been having a hard time finding examples in your own life of times when somebody called you into question. That means you have a lot more power to bring to these spaces, to make them more gender-friendly. Because of my age and my life experiences, I feel confident that I can help make my spaces more gender-friendly, like we've been talking about at the farmers market. I still don't like the question calling, and so I tend to isolate. And Laszlo, you made a comment about you didn't think that we could actually make question calling stop anyway.
Yeah, it's never really a thing that I think can stop completely, because there's always going to be some form of question calling, but I think we can kind of stop it from being as aggressive as it usually ends up being.
Mm.
So I think there's ways to make it more of a healthy question calling.
Right.
But I don't think there's any way to make it like completely stop outright.
Well, maybe that's one way of normalizing for somebody is to actually have the conversation and they're just not sure how to get into the conversation.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely, for sure.
Okay.
And that's a wrap for Suddenly I See this week on CICK 93.9 FM in the Smithers, BC area. We hope you found it helpful and we want to hear from you. Call the CICK station at 250-847-8769 and leave a message or email us at cick_suddenlyic@gmail.com. And for now, we have a Facebook page called Suddenly I See, a Gender Toolkit for the Smithers, BC area. And see you in a couple of weeks, Wizzy!